Amen. We certainly do have a reason to celebrate today. I will just go ahead and say, like, I remember growing up on that song right there. And I don't remember anybody ever singing it like that. Like, that was a good time. That was a lot of fun. It's so good to see everybody this morning. I trust that you are here just to embarrass me in this coming week, and with the hope that maybe your attendance here would be able to lead to my looking ridiculous in one way or another. But I don't really care why you're here. I just praise God that you're here, and look forward to the opportunity to share God's word here today. Here in just a moment, we're going to be in Luke chapter 18, and so if you have Bibles with you, go ahead and turn there. We'll have it up on the screen here in just a moment. But we are going to continue today in our sermon series simply called Celebrate. And last week we had an opportunity to really talk about why it is that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to follow up with that in that we need to be intentional as a church and as followers of Jesus. We need to be intentional to celebrate life change that is happening. And so today we're going to talk about what life change looks like and how we can celebrate and why it is so important for us to celebrate what God has been doing in our lives. So before we jump into all that, though, let's pray together. God, we do thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be in your presence corporately today, Father. We know that you are with us wherever we are, but we thank you, God, that as we all gather here this morning, that you are, we can count on the fact that you are here with us. And so, God, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak into our lives. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours today, God, that you would speak clearly into our lives and that you would help us to say yes to you, whatever that might look like and whatever that might mean. God, we submit ourselves to you now. Have your way, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 35. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 35. And what I want to do is in this story here in my Bible, it's titled "The Blind Beggar Receives His Sight." But what I want to do is I want to kind of go through a couple of verses at a time here and just sort of set up the scene for what is happening here, and then we can kind of break down like why it is so important for us to celebrate what God is doing in and through us as well. So Luke 18, starting in verse 35, and it says, "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening." Now, let me stop there here for just a second. Because I want to make sure that you get the picture of what's going on here. So Jesus has now sort of reached this like celebrity status, right? So like wherever he is, like people are coming after him. Like a lot of people are they've seen all the people that he's healing and this kind of stuff, and so they just want to be where he is so that they might be able to see some of these miracles. Like maybe they could be a part of the next feeding of the 5,000, or maybe they could be there when he calms the storm, or what? Like he's sort of reached this celebrity status to where now there's always a crowd sort of going around with him, right? And the crowd is such that there's sort of a murmur that precedes them before they get to wherever they're going. Like there's some noise going on, right? So people are talking and everything. There's an excitement that is there. And so before the crowd even gets to where the beggar is here, he can kind of hear them coming, right? And so before they even arrive, this guy starts asking some questions about what is going on. I want to just pause here just long enough to be able to say that people who need a touch from Jesus are listening and looking for where it is that they can find what is missing in their lives. And when we celebrate what Jesus is doing, right? Like, so when we're a part of that crowd that is really excited about what Jesus has already been doing in our lives, like when we are celebrating what Jesus is doing, other people are going to hear about that and they're going to start asking questions about why there's so much noise going on around here, right? Which actually, if you think about it, in reverse, should make us wonder, like, if people aren't asking us questions, is it possible that they just, maybe they're not asking questions because they aren't really hearing our celebration? Is it possible that maybe the reason why people aren't asking us questions about our faith, and maybe the reason they're not asking us questions about the church, or maybe the reasons they're not asking us about the next worship service or whatever's going on, or maybe even the reason they're not asking you about what God is doing in your life, maybe it's because they're not hearing us celebrate what Jesus is doing, right? When people, trust me, when you start praising God for what he's doing, people are going to hear it and they're going to ask you questions about it. So if you don't have people asking those questions, that might be a good point for you to stop and ask yourself, why aren't people asking me about my faith and about our church and about what God is doing in us? Celebration is a quick way to let people know something is coming, something is happening. And trust me, people want to be a part of something that's happening. But let me keep going here. Verse 37 says, they told him, this is the crowd now that's following Jesus, they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I think it's important that we just acknowledge here that sometimes the people who are leading the way for Jesus are the ones who are keeping you from him. And I realize, like as the pastor and as, like, the guy who's supposed to be leading the way for Jesus, like, I realize how I'm pointing the finger at myself here. But I also think it's important just to simply acknowledge where a lot of us may struggle. Some of us struggle with the church, and let's be honest, some of us struggle with Jesus, because people who are supposed to be leading the way for Jesus actually didn't do a very good job of that. And so feelings get hurt, and in real ways, like, I don't mean to say that as in to minimize the situations that happen there, but sometimes those people who are sort of quote-unquote leading the way for Jesus are also the ones who are keeping us from him. Maybe we don't worship in the right way, or maybe we don't listen to the right music, or maybe we don't dress the right way, or maybe there's all kinds of things that as we look at the church, as we look at those that are leading in the church, sometimes we might feel like you know what, like if that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, then I don't see myself as that, so that must mean that I can't be a follower of Jesus. And I just want you to know that that's not the case. And sometimes the people who are leading the way for Jesus, they don't have all the answers. And I just want to acknowledge the fact that sometimes the people who are leading the way for Jesus, they get it wrong. We do. Sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. Sometimes we handle conflict in ways that is not appropriate. Sometimes we get stressed out and overwhelmed by things, and we don't respond in ways that we should. I just want to acknowledge that, you know what, sometimes the people who are leading the way in the church mess up. And if you're one that's been hurt by that, I just want you to be able to hear from someone who's trying to lead the way for Jesus, like, I hear you, and it's real. And I'm not trying to dismiss that. This beggar here, in Luke 18, like, he was face to face with people who were supposed to be leading the way for Jesus, telling him to be quiet. Basically saying, no, we're here for Jesus. You just need to be quiet and get out of the way. I don't know, maybe the church has made you feel like that in the past. Maybe the church has made you feel like, well, Jesus is just for us, but you just need to get out of the way because we don't really have time for you. Jesus isn't really here for you. And I just want to acknowledge the fact that if you've ever felt like the church has communicated that to you, that is unfortunate and it is not true. It is a lie from the pit of hell. And even if those very words have been used and communicated to you, it still is not true. That is not the Jesus way. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But I think we do need to acknowledge, you know, that sometimes church folk hurt people. It happens. It happens. We need to acknowledge that sometimes church folk do things different than the way Jesus would do things. And let me be clear, I'm not justifying what some decisions that have been made in the church that were not good. I'm not saying those are okay. I'm just saying sometimes that happens. Sometimes people who are leading the way for Jesus don't always represent Jesus himself very well. You know, we need to acknowledge the fact that people who have been hurt shouldn't, let me say it this way. If you have been hurt by someone who is supposed to be leading the way to Jesus, please don't let those people actually keep you from Jesus. He's the only one who can change your life. In spite of anything else that anyone else might say or do or make you feel like, do not let an interaction that you had with someone who is not Jesus keep you from actually encountering the life-changing person of Jesus Christ. He is everything the Bible tells you about. And the church is fallen and broken, and we do things wrong sometimes, and we have plenty of examples of that in God's word as well, right? But you need to understand that just because somebody else did you wrong, that doesn't mean that Jesus will. He loves you even when the church did not. He died for you even when the church wouldn't sacrifice for you. Like he is interceding for you to the Father even now, even when you felt like the church would never pray for you. Please do not let a negative interaction with the church in the past keep you from Jesus himself. He is the only one who can bring the life change that we need. But he's the only one that gives us reason to celebrate. If you are looking to the church for your reason to celebrate, you're looking in the wrong place. Hear me, somebody. I'm going to amen myself here in a minute. For real though, if you are looking to this body of believers to be able to look around and say, well, these people are so awesome, y'all need to come meet some of my people. Like that's great. And don't get me wrong, y'all are like super awesome. Like you really are, right? But if all we are celebrating is the programming that we have here in this building, if all that we are celebrating are the relationships that we have with each other, and we're not celebrating how Jesus Christ has changed our lives, then we are leaving ourselves short of the message that will change the lives of people around us. Does that make sense? Like, people need an encounter with Jesus. And as much as I would love for you to be a part of this body of believers, even on this week, in order that we might get to 166 people, right? And I'm watching Joe and Daniel counting back there, by the way, even as I'm preaching here. But as much as I would love for you to be a part of this body of believers is not going to change your life. Amen. It is only a relationship with Jesus Christ that can change your life. And it's the body of believers that comes together to encourage that relationship when it gets hard to keep on with it. Speaking of keeping on with it, let me get going here. Verse 40. I think that's, verse 40. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Here in just a moment, I'm going to show you a video. And I'll let you know in advance. The audio is not as good as it could be, and so it's going to be a little bit. You'll hear it in a minute, but incredible testimony that I want you to hear. But as you're watching this, what I want you to recognize is that Jesus will respond to your faith. He will. Jesus will 100% respond to your faith, and he will give you a reason to celebrate. Watch this story now of a reason to celebrate.
I was paralyzed, actually, when I was 29 years old. So when I went to the doctor, I couldn't move, went to see the specialist. They told me there's no cure, it's surgery. The last thing that the doctor says, we try several ones, he said, the only thing you have to go back to the future is that. The exact words from the medical doctor. I can't move. There goes our career, our future. And so I would just crawl on the floor. That hard moment, I said, I can't get up. So she went down to the knees and started crawling. That I'm not gonna walk either. If you cannot walk, I'm not gonna walk until you walk. I said, God, I can't take it. I said, please help me from this. So that day came 14 years later. So I was in pain for 14 years. Along those years, I kept saying, but I know there's a God that's so powerful that can do it. A lot of things in life, he has history in the Bible, all the scriptures talks about. Impossible things. So one day I went to sleep, I woke up with no pain. When I woke up, I told my wife, Eunice, I said, look, I feel strange. I don't know what it is, but I feel strange. Guess what? I had no pain. And I didn't know what it was doing with no pain. Because feeling that thing in the back for 14 years is like a stage with just memory. I said, wow, my pain went away. And then I said, let me go run. And I did. I said, I'm good. I can run again. The doctor said, you will never run again. The doctor even said, you will never get to see your kids graduate high school. I started running again. Long distance, I increased my distance. I hit my 25th marathon. And now I'm running long distances of ultra runs, over 30 mile runs at one time. He said I would never walk, more or less run, more or less jump. So I signed up to jump from an airplane because I said, I can jump. So my kids and I went to skydive and I jumped from an airplane. When that happened, the cure was done 100%. I said, testify to the world from this day on, there is a God out there that is willing to listen and you have to wait till this time. So people tell me, what's wrong with you? I said, I can tell you, but you better bring a sign because it's going to be a long one. So when he came to his church, to me, walking in water is amazing. Ascending into the clouds. One of the biggest ones in my list is the top 10 miracles in the Bible. It's like, he changed me.
Amen. Yeah, I'm so thankful for Rudy and Eunice being a part of our church now. Many of you, because they started coming right as all this COVID stuff was happening, a lot of you haven't really had an opportunity to get to know them very well. But we're so glad you guys are part of the church. And I love how Rudy ended that there. The greatest miracle that he knows of is how God has changed him, right? And now some of you are probably thinking like, well, if I could run, I don't know if running 25 marathons sounds like celebrating or not. That sounds more like the punishment than the celebration, right? But how awesome is it that the way that God responded to Rudy's faithfulness in prayer for all those years, right? I want you to know that God will respond to your faith. We don't know how long the blind beggar had been sitting here before Jesus and the company of people around him got there. We don't know how long it was before they arrived, but we do know that when they arrived, he was not going to let Jesus go by without having some sort of interaction with him. I want you to know, you may have been in your situation. You may have a struggle that you've been dealing with for a long time now. Maybe it's a medical thing like what Rudy had talked about. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's a financial issue or a job issue. Like maybe you've had some things that you've been struggling with for a while, and you just wonder yourself, like, Lord, do you hear me? Like, are you actually responding to me? I want you to know, God may not move in the moment that you want him to, right? But God will respond to your faith. He will give you reason to celebrate. He'll give you reason to jump up out of an airplane. Rudy, I don't even know what you're thinking about there, man. He'll give you reason because, again, but again, even back to the testimony, the part of the reason he jumped out of an airplane is because he could, right? Like, oh my goodness, like, we need to recognize that Jesus has allowed us to be able to do some things in our lives, to be able to live free and to live outside of guilt, to live outside of our past life. And if we can live like that, well, then let's live like that. If we can jump, well, then let's jump. If we can live for Jesus, well, then let's live for Jesus. Right? Like, if we have reason to celebrate, then let's celebrate. Because he's been so good to us. I mean, if he's allowed us to get up, if he's allowed us to be a part of the church, if he's allowed us to be saved by grace through faith, well, then let's celebrate that. Because he's been so good to us, right? Let me finish this up here in verse 43. Verse 43, and because this is the one that just really knocked my socks off here. Verse 43 says, immediately, and again, Jesus just healed the guy, right? Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus. So now he becomes part of the crowd, right? You see that? He followed Jesus, praising God. Watch this. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Do you see what happened right there? Like, there's a really interesting shift that happened in the story there that, again, I think sometimes because we don't get to see, let me just be real transparent with y'all. I think that pleasure reading is actually a contradiction in terms, okay? And so, like, for me, like, when I read something, I don't always see that in my head. Like, I can get through the words eventually. But for me, like, I would just much rather watch the movie, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. I would just rather watch the movie. Like, I don't know that I've ever said, you know what, the book was better. I've never said that in my whole life, ever, right? And I know for some of you that have, like, certain, like, books, particularly if you read, like, book series, which is just hysterical to me. Like, why would you read a book knowing that's not the end of the story? Like, you got another book you have to read? Like, anyway, don't get me started on that. But, I personally, I'd just rather get the whole series in one movie, knock it out, and move on. Like, that's just how I organize my life. You can do what you want to do. That's just how I see it. This is one of those stories where I really wish we had the movie, right? And here's why. Go back to the beginning of the story, right? Kind of rewind that. So the crowd is coming, all the murmur, the noise and everything. The guy's like, what's up? What's going on? Well, Jesus is coming by. Son of David, have mercy on me. No, you need to be quiet. And they rebuke him. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus comes rolling up. No, bring him here. All right, he gets there, right? What do you want? I want to see. Receive your sight. You're healed by faith. He starts going nuts, praising God. Woo, thank you, Jesus, right? Looking around at everything, like seeing things for the first time. Imagine seeing things for the first time, right? You imagine how, like, you would lose your mind and you don't even care if anybody's, like, laughing at you about it, right? But here's what happens. He loses his mind in praise, and the people who told him to shut up are now losing their mind in praise too. Did you see that? So what happened was, when he got healed because of his persistence in getting to Jesus, he received by faith the healing that Jesus had for him, and he lost his ever-loving mind in praise. And when he did, he changed the conversation of the naysayers. Ooh, I hope you hear this today, because you don't know how much power you have in your celebration, right? Because you might hear some people around you that are talking down about the church or talking down about God in general or whatever like that. But I just want you to know, when you start giving God praise for what he's done in your life, you will change what comes out of the mouth of people around you. And you may not even recognize how powerful your words are. But this guy, who couldn't see 5 minutes ago, when now is seeing everything for the very first time, he follows Jesus, praising God, and now everybody else is too, even the people who are supposed to be leading the way to Jesus. You see that? See, y'all think that I'm the one who's the leader and the influencer up here. I'm really not. Y'all need to recognize, I am not the one who is influencing people toward Jesus. No, that's you. like you need to know, like people are not showing up here. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder and the humility. People are not showing up here because of me. Amen. I thank you for not being too loud on that one. People are not showing up here because of me. People are showing up here because they've heard a word from you. People are showing up here because they've heard your praise. People are showing up here because they realize you have been celebrating what God is doing in your life, and they want some of that as well. Like, people are not coming here for me. I promise you right now, all right? They can watch online if they're really that interested in me, but they're not going to show up in this building because of me. No. No, they're going to be here because of your celebration, right? And now watch this. This is so great. Because as the guy is the blind, I hate to call him the blind beggar because he's not blind and he ain't going to be begging no more, right? That's who he used to be. Like, now he is the seer who's praising God. Like, maybe that's the name we're going to give him from now on. He's the seer who's praising God. And so the seer who's praising God, like because of what he has done in celebrating Jesus, now other people have testimony to give that they can share with others as well, right? See, when we don't celebrate, we actually rob other people of testimonies that they have to share. When we don't celebrate, then people might miss what God is doing in us. And so then they don't have that story to share with anybody else, right? People need to know that God is active. And the way that he knows that is in our celebration. Let me go ahead and invite the worship team up. And we cannot underestimate the power of our celebration to people that need a word from Jesus, that need their lives changed by Jesus. The change that comes through, like, in us, will also be the change that the people around us need the most, right? One of the questions that Rudy asked himself when he experienced his healing was, "Can I run?" See, before all the back pain and that kind of stuff, he was very active and liked to do a lot of hiking and running and those kinds of things. But then when he hurt himself for those 14 years, he couldn't do any of that. And so he asked himself, when he experienced the healing of God in his life, can I run? And that's the question I've got for you today. Can you run? Will you run? Like if Jesus has done something in your life, will you be willing to celebrate that just by giving testimony of what God is doing in your life? Because if you will, like, you're going to make a difference in people's lives, not even intentionally. Just if people around you start hearing things, they're gonna start asking questions. They're gonna see your praise, and they're gonna join you in your praise, right? God can work through you in some really mighty and powerful ways. And I hope that you won't look at running for Jesus like you might look at running a physical marathon, like, oh, Lord Jesus, no, deliver me from that, right? But that you'll see that this is a way that you get to show the world what Jesus has done in your life. Stand with me, please, if you would. This morning, we're gonna sing a song here, and if the Lord is challenging you, if the Lord is speaking into your life today, and you want to respond, and you want to run to Him, you want to celebrate what He is doing in your life. Maybe you just want to kneel at an altar of prayer and say, God, I hear you, and I want what you want, God. Maybe as you're here today, you recognize that you still need that miracle touch of Jesus, that you, more than anything, you need Jesus just to make you whole. Like, you need the forgiveness of your sins. You want just to initiate that relationship with Him in order that you might be able to experience the miracle work of Jesus in your life. And I want to invite you to receive that today. If you walked into this room not a believer, and you want to leave this room as a follower of Jesus, praising Him in order that others might praise Him as well, you can do that. It's as simple as acknowledging, you know what, I need a Savior, and Jesus, I believe you're the guy. And I confess, Jesus, that you are my Savior, and you're the only one who can save me. If that is your prayer today, I want to invite you, whether you're at your seat or at an altar of prayer or whatever, pray that prayer to Him. Just commit yourself to Him in that way. And just know that as He changes you, He's going to continue to give you more and more reason to celebrate, because you're not going to be the same person you were. You're not going to live according to the same things you did before. You're going to be set free and made new. Let Him set you free today.